Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 12th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by Liana. How you doing, Liana?
I'm doing well, despite pretty much nothing happening on feeds. So this is going to be a real fun update. This will kind of be like, I guess this is the Seinfeld podcast version. Not like the actual Seinfeld podcast, but it's a podcast about nothing. So
yeah,
it's really going to be fun.
Yeah, the Eric Stein-esque podcast.
Right, exactly.
we again don't appear to have a page up on Rob's website right now, so just you can join us on YouTube, and you can find the chat chatwing.com/rob.sestrunino if you want to chat with us there. Not much to talk about here today. There was really nothing major that changed at all. Maybe we can get into an argument about whether or not Cody would be a good player without Paul. That seems to be a hit thing.
Yeah, we were talking pre-show about how in our notes, like one of our bullet points is literally about the fish dying. Like that's how we know the day has been absolutely slow with nothing going on, that we're talking about fish dying, and that seems to be a priority.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, you get lots of those little details that sometimes we gloss over.
Oh, boy. Are you excited?
So first, we had more plans to rattle Kevin. This is the stuff that Brent was saying. Ah, it's not that bad last night, because it's coming from Josh, of course. So Josh was saying, let's call him fat. We'll call him old. He floated his way to the end. Josh, he's getting a little pumped for this. It's typical Josh sort of structure as to like how he responds to this. At first, he's like, no, I don't want to do that. And then he's like, all right, maybe you can do it and I'll bang some pots and pans. And it's like, all right. Okay, now I'll call him old. That'll be old and fat. And he floated his way. Oh, man, I'm excited for this now.
Yeah, I really like this attack that he's a floater, especially because Kevin really doesn't know what the term floater means. But now Kevin is also very defensive of being called a floater. Like he's going to talk in his speech about how he's not a floater, even though, again, I still don't think he really understands what a floater is. So this has been just very bizarre. I mean, it's more of the same. I don't care for it. It's not exciting. I can't even tell you like how many hours listening to Josh, Christmas, and Paul talk in the HOH room, bashing Kevin, bashing Jason, bashing Mark. I mean, I don't know what it is about these house guests who promote friendship, but really they're like the biggest crap talkers in the entire house.
Haven't you heard Alex? They don't even know what friendship means.
No, well, yes, that's because friendship is dead. Isn't Alex a brand marketer, an eco-friendly marketer or something like that? I still don't quite know if that means that she's eco-friendly or she does brand marketing for eco-friendly, but Alex would understand what it means to ruin someone's brand. So the fact that Paul has gone against friendship, how is he going to, I mean, his stores are just going to do terribly. It's going to be awful.
It all makes sense now. It's funny that like, cause they keep talking about Kevin, they're bashing Kevin all day long and they just keep talking about him like, man, that Kevin, all he's done all game has been plant seeds in people's ears, make them paranoid, suck up to the jury. And it's like, yeah, that's how you play Big Brother, actually. Those are all really good things. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, and it's so funny because Kevin's not doing them on purpose. Like, yeah. He's just doing it because he's a genuinely good human being and actually is nice to people. Kevin is not good at this game. He does not know this game. But I just really don't know, you know, what they have against Kevin. Maybe it's because he's a nice human being and they're not. Maybe that's where it's coming from. It's so annoying.
Huya has a theory in the chat. Two seasons back to back where the name Kevin gets dragged through the mud. It's because he's named Kevin.
Oh, of course. Man, we're like Sherlock Holmes and Watson today. We're like solving a bunch of these cases.
This is what happens when there's not a lot to cover. We just start solving mysteries. To Paul's credit, he does actually say, we don't have to call him fat and old. We can lay off that stuff. But Josh is like, nah. I got this. I'm good.
Yeah. It's so much fun. Wow. This is really great. I enjoy all of this.
Yeah. Don't call me fat and old, please.
Okay. I promise. I'll just do it behind your back, because that's okay, right, Brent? As long as I do it behind your back, then it's fine. But if I call it to your face, then that's when we have a problem.
See, this is us talking behind Brent's back a little bit.
He'll love it then.
Yes, he will. He'll be like, that's totally cool. All right, so Paul does not use the veto on Alex in the veto ceremony. And afterwards, he goes to Alex, asks her if she wants to talk. She says, no, I'm good.
She's back to her roots when she told Cody at the very beginning to, like, eat it. This is her just really going back to the core player that she was at the beginning.
Yeah, you know, she thought she was progressing along a scale, but it was really a Paul scale. And now she's just back to square one. So, yeah, she calls him selfish. And he's like, what? Look, I just want to explain. If I can explain my reasoning and my thought process, you'll understand why it's not selfish. And like, I just need to, like, I just tell you a couple of things. And she's like, I don't want to hear it. No.
Well, it's so funny because we've talked about Paul not owning his game and that being a problem. Like, Paul, own your game. Just tell him what's going on. And now he actually tries to do this. And Alex is like, nah, I don't want to hear it. No, thank you.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. Okay. It was selfish. This is a game where you are supposed to be selfish. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Again, that's the point. It's this whole playing for the team, playing for friendship nonsense. And I mean, it makes sense that that's the angle that she would be coming from, because that's what she's been following the entire season. But it's like, guys, you're trying to win for yourself. I don't know if this was lost on Christmas and Alex somewhere, but they clearly just don't understand.
Yes. So I guess in his speech, Paul told Alex that he couldn't beat her, and that was part of it, which is, again, like, it's the right thing to do. I mean, it's giving her this inflated sense of ego, and I think that is going to help when it comes to her jury vote, but she's not having it. She's not happy about this.
No, and she's essentially completely isolated herself. This is very reminiscent of Cody and Jessica isolating themselves. She's been just reading the Bible, praying on her rosary, talking about praying for fan favorite. And it's like, oh, sweetie, that's nice. Bless your heart.
So then they do some more Kevin bashing, more just like, oh man, the only thing he's done is play the game. We think he's played even better than he has, but that means he's even worse than he is. Paul actually mentions, like, hey, maybe it's better if Kevin feels safe before the next HOH. Maybe you shouldn't call him out in a speech beforehand. Maybe that's the route to go. But they're still confused because, like, later on, Christmas is like, I can't wait to, like, bash his face in. And Paul's like, don't worry, you'll get to do it tomorrow. And it's just like, when? After the HOH? So there's not even a remote justification for what you're doing? I don't understand this.
And Christmas was really, really being harsh. I mean, the language and some of the things that she was saying, it was like, oh my goodness, she's gonna get a bunch more one-star reviews about her book.
So then we have Josh talking to the cameras, and he's talking about how really wants to win the final three HOH. He's hoping that obviously he still gets to cut Paul, but he doesn't want to cut Paul until the final three now. He's starting to feel bad about the fact that he considered backdooring him. I feel like if he has the opportunity at final four, if for whatever reason Paul loses the HOH and then Josh wins the veto, I do think he'll start to consider it again, like, oh, maybe this is my opportunity. However, he currently is back on the train of, I'll wait until the final three, then I'll cut Paul. Because he's also talking about how he's saying, you know what? I was thinking that I can't beat Paul in the final two, but I have played a pretty straightforward and honest game. So if I say in my speech, just like how honest I've been, how straightforward I've been, and that Paul is so deceptive, maybe I can beat him. And this is again where it's just like, oh boy, that's really the wrong way to go about this.
Yeah, exactly. This is a far cry from when we were hoping that he would evict him at, like, you know, final five, final six. So I think that Josh eventually will get his head back in the right place. I mean, the dynamic for the majority of the early part of the day was Alex alone, Kevin alone, and then Paul, Christmas, and Josh all hanging out together. And I think that just spending all that time is sort of putting Paul back in Josh's good graces because they're spending so much time together and because they're bonding. And so I think that that's part of the reason why he's, you know, still again wants to keep him till final three. Although I think, you know, once the competition starts to ramp up, and I think once he gets back in the appropriate headspace, which I do believe will happen, he will consider cutting him at four if he has the opportunity. And I think we'll for sure cut him at final three.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate thing here that, you know, we all want Josh to be the Steve, right? We all want him to be the one that like has figured everything out. He's the smart player that's going to go against Paul. I think, unfortunately, the reality of it is that this has only ever been an emotional reaction from Josh. He only ever talks about taking Paul out when he's mad at Paul because Paul is putting him in an awkward situation. And when Paul is being nice to him again, he's sort of back under that spell, even to the point where he feels maybe he can beat Paul in the final two again. So I think, you know, as much as we want to be like, yes, Josh, our savior, I don't think it's there, unfortunately. So, well,
and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've been talking so much about it. And so we kind of put this narrative together because one, it's, you know, what we would like to see, and oh, what a great move this would be. This is in Josh's benefit. So from our perspective, we are trying to like will it into being, not Alex will it, but just like I want it to happen so badly that I kind of lose sight of Josh's real behavior. And I see this glimmer of hope with him, like when he is mad and when he's talking to the cameras, and I cling on to that. But I think you're right. I mean, he really does fall for Paul. He is under the cult mentality spell, and seeing him interact with him all day and then kind of talk about how he could bring Paul to the final two, it's disheartening to see, but I think that it's more apt.
Yeah. So that's where we are with Josh. Throughout the day, they've been talking a lot about how the public is viewing them. I think this really is stemming from the fact that, like, you know, Jessica won the Halting Hex, and that was sort of a big blow to them. They were like, oh, why did she win the Halting Hex? This is not what we want. But they were able to like put it behind them, like, oh, we can come up with a bunch of rationalizations for that. It's fine. We're still everyone's favorite, clearly. But then, you know, they get some questions in the DR, and they're starting to think like, are we being portrayed as bullies? Is this what's happening? And then they get the comics, and Cody and Jess were portrayed as heroes, and Paul is, you know, potty mouth, and they are not heroes. So it's really dawning on them that they are very clearly the villains of this season, and they're clearly not very happy about it.
Well, yeah, they're especially the comics. Paul is really upset about the comics. I think I forget how young Paul is. I think he's only 24, and you can see his immaturity come out in a lot of different ways. And the comic book, him being so upset about the comic books, this was giving me flashbacks of Jen from BB-8 with her picture. She hated her picture on the memory wall. Paul is really upset about it. He doesn't like that he's being called potty mouth, which if you remember, it's off motor mouth, like related to that. So, and then the fact that the Jessica and Cody being portrayed as the heroes and them as the villains, it's really bothering them. And it's so funny because they had a conversation. It was Paul, Josh, and Christmas, I think. They were talking about BBOTT. And first of all, Paul got confused. He forgot that America voted. And so there was this exchange between him and Josh where Josh was like, well, won't America influence the game? And Paul was like, well, who cares what America thinks? You care what America thinks. And you care about how you're being portrayed and that you're not the hero of the story.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing where, you know, Paul is saying like, oh, it doesn't matter, who cares? But, you know, you say it that often. It's like, yeah, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I don't care. Well, when you say I don't care every 20 minutes, I think you kind of care.
Yeah. And you know, there's nothing wrong with caring either. Like, there's millions of people watching. Obviously, you're going to care if people don't like you. You don't have to pretend you don't. So, yes, they are very concerned about this. And again, it's like if people are hoping that there's like some big like shocker with the America's favorite player, I think they already know. To be honest, this is not going to be a Frankie situation where he's like, oh. What?
That was so great.
They're just going to be like, yep, figured.
I really, it's going to be interesting to see how the America's Favorite Player shakes out. I mean, I think it's going to be some combination of Cody, Jess, and Kevin. So we're going to see what happens. I think that if it is Kevin, I think you talked about this on the roundtable, but if it's Kevin, that's going to hurt him. That's going to hurt really bad. I would love for that to happen.
See, that's the one, because I think they would be shocked at Kevin, because they've been talking constantly about, like, Kevin is so forgettable. He's the worst. Nobody's going to remember Kevin after this season. Alex hates him. Christmas hates him. Like, I really think Kevin would put some shock into their face. So Alex then talks to the cameras. She says, they're all liars. They're all liars. Friendship is a lie. Paul, this is interesting. She thinks Paul is still lying about some things, which of course he is, but the things she thinks he's lying about are probably wrong, but she thinks he's still lying, and she says that she's going to call him out later.
Oh, I mean, of course Alex would have the wrong read on the game still, even when she's now out of power and doesn't have, you know, any equity. Well, now she's still wrong about what Paul's lying about. I mean, frankly, this is unsurprising.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what this, if she really is going to call him out, or maybe she's going to call him out in jury or whatever, but she said she was going to call him out. She says none of them deserve to be here. Friendship is they don't even understand the meaning of friendship. which, you know, I guess if Paul made it up, then, you know, he gets to define it. She also... She makes a comparison to the Titanic. She says, this is just like what happened on the Titanic. Spoilers if you have not seen the Titanic. I'm like Leonardo DiCaprio. I got him. He's like Kate Winslet. I got him all the way here. And now he's leaving me. He gets to float on the thing. And now I'm just going to like be drowned here in the water.
There was enough room for both of them. Wasn't Raven's parents or grandparents, didn't they die on the Titanic and it only sank like 40 years ago or something like that? The Titanic has been really prevalent this season, surprisingly.
Yeah, there you go. Bringing it back to Raven.
Always. Oh my gosh. So the one like very exciting good thing that did happen today or yesterday was they were talking about Raven's cooking. And they were talking about how salty it was. Oh my goodness. They said, they were like, I don't know how Matt didn't die. Maybe that's why he ate so much cereal, to counteract all the salt from Raven's cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, gosh, I'm laughing so hard.
Maybe the whole cereal thing was just made up so that he wouldn't have to eat as much of Raven's cooking as would have killed him. Alex says, Jason wouldn't have done this to me. Please, please, please. Vote for me for America's Favorite Player. Now that I got taken out by these bozos, it was unfair. Give me a chance at the America's Favorite Player, because I don't have a chance at the 500,000 anymore.
Well, she might get her wish of being brought, you know, losing the season and getting brought back. Isn't this what she wanted all along from her preseason interviews? So I think this is just like, this was her plan. It's going to be really interesting when she gets to jury. I would absolutely love to see the conversations between her and Jason and with Cody, where kind of they try to shed light on what the actual situation was. Like that, I would pay to see that.
Yeah. And again, I think like the fact that she's going to be going into the jury so like bamboozled about things, they're just going to be like, what is wrong with you? Why can't you figure this out? Kevin also talks to the cameras. He says, I'm no floater. I'm no floater. Don't call me a floater. I got here. If I make it to top four, nobody can say I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, about that, Kevin. This is, again, goes back to Kevin's obsession with being called a floater, and I still don't think he knows what being a floater is. And I mean, yes, okay, you made it far into the game. You know, he did make it to Final Four, or will, I assume. But no, Kevin, I still don't think you know what you're doing.
Yeah, we all love Kevin, right? But unfortunately, he's a bit of a Victoria. He basically does everything that Paul says and then feels like that's good gameplay. You know, that's what Victoria's thing was. If I do what Derek says, he'll take me to the end. And that means that I'm a mastermind. Granted, I don't think Kevin is as delusional. I don't think we're going to get an interview, exit interview with Kevin, where he says he masterminded the whole game and then, you know, was robbed at the end.
How dare you come down on Queen Victoria? I still think one of my favorite confessionals is Victoria. She's like, she's got the veto after they all threw it to her. And she's like, I got you, boys. I'm coming for you. And stuff like that. I was like, oh, Victoria.
Yes, Puya says Victoria with charisma and banter, likable version. So, yeah, I think that's basically it. But maybe, you know, maybe he'll wake up and, you know, see what happens. I do think he said, like, oh, it's every man for himself, Final Four. You know, as much as he's, like, still talking to Paul and Paul is saying, like, oh, I might have to put you up Final Four. And he's like, as long as I don't go home, whatever. You know, I think he's a little bit of a wild card. Like, Victoria was never going to cut Derek. I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance that Kevin wakes up and decides to cut Paul. The problem is that he doesn't really see like who's the better person to take here. And especially if Josh and Christmas start going ham on him, it's like, well.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, his just complete lack of knowledge when it comes to the game may be a little bit of a detriment to him making the correct decision down the stretch. But I do think that him saying, you know, this is every man for himself now, he does seem to have some bit of self-interest and would have the ability to cut Paul. But, you know, I feel like this is just kind of falling in the Josh fan fiction and is even less likely to happen.
Yes. So we previewed this at the top of the show, the highlight of the day. The fish are dying.
Ugh, that's so sad.
Yeah. They're starting to die. They've been watching this game nonstop all season long.
That's why.
Unfortunately, they don't have the fortitude of us live feed correspondents. So they're starting to lose it.
Oh, I know. I like to think that I outlived the fish. I don't know if that's something that an accolade that I really want to have, but it seems to be the case. It's something, that's for sure.
Nobody can tell you that you don't know what you're doing because you've outlasted the fish.
That's right. I've made it all the way past the fish.
Yes. So yeah, fish are dying. It's the news.
We don't make the news. We just report it. How exciting.
Josh is upset about it.
Yeah, he was asking for fish medicine, which is kind of cute. I guess it shows that he has some level of empathy. So that's nice.
He's a human being.
He's a human being. Maybe they fed the fish some of Raven's cooking.
Also, Paul has a talk with Josh because I don't remember if we mentioned this yesterday or when we may have mentioned this, but Josh at one point was like, hey, hey, Paul and Christmas, you guys in a showmance? And they were like, no, no.
Yeah, it was very exciting. Oh my gosh. Yes. And then, yeah, both denied it. Oh, except like Paul, immediately adamantly denied it. And then, you know, poor Christmas. I guess I feel bad for her. I know that she's been captivated by Paul's kind of cult leader charm. But, you know, it's always sad when you like somebody and they don't reciprocate.
Well, again, I mean, this all harkens back to like middle school. Like you're hanging out with your crush and then somebody's like, oh, you two, you're so cute together. And you're like, oh, yeah. And then your crush is just like, ew. And you're like, oh, God.
No. No. Yeah, well, it's because Josh just wants a cuddle buddy. So he wants to cuddle with both Christmas and Paul on either side. He's just jealous. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to say.
Ugh. Lots of, you know, weird, creepy mother loving things.
Yeah, that's awkward. I'm looking forward to the note where she like hands in the note, check yes or no with the two boxes. We're going to go full middle school.
Yes. So in true middle school style, Paul is talking to Josh like, can you stop, please, with the me and Christmas are showmans? It's like, this is not cool. I've got a girl on the outside. I'm already tripping that she doesn't like me anymore. I can't have you doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Paul using his manipulation for good, I guess. Trying to help his personal game, my personal life. I don't know. It's just funny. It's a complete disaster.
He says, you know, she's 11 years older than me, man. Like, I don't want any ideas getting in people's heads. She's like a sister.
She's like a mother. Exactly. Oh, perfect mother lover. Yeah, no, I don't, you know, it's so childish. It's so incredibly childish. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
Yes. We have a question from a guest in the chat who says, Liana, this question was brought up on the roundtable, but I'd like to hear your take. If Paul wasn't there this season, who do you think would have been a power player?
I think there are a number of different scenarios that we could have seen play out if Paul wasn't there. I really do think with Cody in power, I think that that alliance probably would have steamrolled, because you don't see Cody go after, you know, go after Paul early and then see that whole alliance crumble. I think that if they're able to stay in power, I think Cody surprisingly probably becomes a power player, which I know is really shocking. But he seems to be the one who might stand up and, you know, be the biggest player that season.
All right. I guess this is round two.
See, ready to discuss it.
I mean, I don't want to reiterate my arguments from last night, but yeah, I mean, Cody didn't succeed at anything in this game. I have no reason to believe that he would be successful in this house. There are plenty of other people that I think could have succeeded. Obviously, there's a chance that Cody doesn't blindside his alliance. But again, if we're talking about the reason why Cody turned on his alliance in the first place, it's because he wanted to work with Alex and he didn't want to blindside Jason. That's why he put Christmas up on the block. I think he does that anyway. And I think he still loses those votes. Even if he doesn't lose those votes, even if it's a split house, he ends up in the majority with Alex. Alex never liked him in the first place. She didn't want to work with him. So congratulations, Cody. You've put yourself in a position where you're now aligned with people who don't want to work with you. You've alienated your own alliance and they're coming after you. And as we saw in the house, he isolates himself constantly. Even when he thought he was in power, he isolated himself with Jessica. I just see no reason why Cody would be good at this game unless Jessica is not in the house. I think then he has a chance to learn from those mistakes. He could maybe be a decent player. When Jessica wasn't there, he was doing somewhat okay. And I think that's where we could see Cody be a somewhat halfway decent player. But yeah, I mean, we talked all season long, like Cody and Jess, if they were halfway decent, if they had any kind of brain in their heads between the two of them, they could have taken Paul out of the game when Jessica was HOH. They could have done plenty of things, but they didn't because they're not that great.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I also don't think that they're great players, but I think you have to look at the rest of the cast because they're complete disasters. And I think about Big Brother 16 with, you know, if Derek wasn't in the house and you have Frankie and Caleb, and I think you do have the implodingness of Devin in the house. And I think that that does throw a wrench in things, but I think that those guys still stay together. And I think that they still end up steamrolling the game, you know, without Derek. And so I think that with Cody and Jessica coming into power early and kind of creating this alliance, I think that it still continues to steamroll, you know, just because the Misfits just wouldn't, they might be able to gain power, but I think they even more so than maybe Cody and Jess wouldn't know what to do with it.
See, I'll actually disagree with the season 16 thing as well, because they tried to turn on each other at week two. They were trying to get Zach out of the game. They were like all kinds of messy, and Derek was the one that swooped in and kept everything nice and clean and kept that big alliance together. And we compared Cody to Devin last night, and I feel like if you're talking about like power player, like somebody that's going to win a few competitions and then be taken out at about halfway through the game, then sure. I think that is absolutely Cody's trajectory without Paul in the house. And that was Devin's trajectory without Derek in the house. But if we're talking about power player, like real serious contender, like number one threat to win the game, I don't think that's ever going to be Cody on this season. He just does not have the instincts for the game. And everyone recognized that week one. And then the longer he was an underdog and then came back into the house, people started to forget and be like, oh, but he's so fun to watch.
I think Cody is much more level-headed. I think that Devin was an insane ball of emotion. He's more, you know, there were the comparisons to Josh. Like he to me is more like Josh. I think because Cody is more level-headed, that might be able to, you know, increase his stay in the game. But yeah, I mean, I guess it does. Like I'm thinking power player is in somebody who's going to be in control, I guess, maybe, you know, someone like a Shelly versus a Vanessa, right? Like maybe that is more, I was thinking like a Shelly type player versus a Vanessa type player. The only thing is that no one else comes to mind. I really, really, this cast is so dumb and I really, really can't see anybody else standing out and being the biggest power player.
Well, and like, I mean, if we look at it specifically, Cody and Derek, like they are Cody and Devin, they both did very similar things where like they made moves without the support of their alliance. And that's what got them in hot water. That's what Cody would have done regardless of Paul being there. And here's why I think, like, if we're talking about if Paul isn't there, who has the chance to flourish? Like Cody and Jess were the people that weren't hindered by Paul. They were the people who were on the outside of that. They were not mind brainwashed by Paul. If we're talking about their potential in the game, we saw it. They were competing against somebody that was better than them and they lost, but it's not like, oh, they had potential that we didn't see. We saw what their potential was in the game. Whereas people like Elena, Mark, like all of these people that like were under Paul's spell and were loyal to Paul and were playing a halfway decent game, if Paul decided to be loyal back to them, then I think we can look at I agree with Brent. I think Elena could have been really good. She was so good socially. She was good at competitions. She was in a really great spot until Paul just plucked it away from her. Ramses was a not good player, but was the kind of person who could have lasted much longer and then gone on some sort of competition spree and been, you know, the nerd archetype that ends up in a really decent spot at the end. But of course, with Paul there to, keep everything, hidden from him and like keep him on the outs, he wasn't able to gain any traction. And obviously Malcolm himself, the guy literally who would have benefited more than anyone if Paul wasn't there, I think he's the true power player that would have emerged yeah. if Paul wasn't there.
I mean, I think a lot of this is right, so all of this is speculation, and I think because we've been able to see Cody with some bit of power, I can like see it in my brain, that trajectory moving forward, because Ramses or Cameron, we never really got to see what they would do with power and kind of how that would have progressed. It's harder for me to speculate about those types of things just because like I have no idea. So I would have to make a lot of assumptions moving forward. So I can see where you're coming from when we're talking about Cameron or Ramses. I think the Elena argument is very good. Oh my goodness. Just Matt Raven, Chris, Christmas, maybe she would have been somebody who was good, but Jason, Alex, they're all just so bad. And so just, seeing them play is like, oh God, none of these people, that's for sure.
Well, I think Christmas without the broken foot, could have been good. I think that's honestly more than anything, even more than Paul's manipulation has sort of hindered her game. I think she sees herself differently. I mean, this is a huge life-changing event for her. Like, this is her career. I think that had a huge impact on her game. I honestly think that Jason, without Paul there to manipulate Alex, who manipulated him, I think he was in a great spot. Even with Paul in the game, he was in a pretty decent spot to win. And his social game, his instincts for the game, they were all there. But of course, Paul being that huge influence to Alex and then through Alex to Jason really, really hindered him. And again, that's where Paul wasn't the reason why Cody made mistakes. Cody made mistakes on his own. Even if Paul wasn't there, Cody still would have gone against his alliance to want to keep Alex, thrown that veto to Alex, and would have wanted to nominate somebody other than Alex or Jason.
Well, I think with Alex, though, I think it was with Cody, when with regards to both Paul and Alex, I think it was the back to back of two things that were major shakeups or major party fouls to his alliance. Right. It was this throwing the veto to Alex and then the combination of putting up Paul. And so I think if you remove trying to put up Paul, I think, yes, he makes a blunder with trying to throw it to Alex, but I don't think it has the same level of negative impact on Cody's game.
It certainly doesn't have the same level of impact, but I think there's a very decent chance he still puts up Christmas as the replacement, still pisses off his alliance. And even if he doesn't, they were already sketched out at that point. They were already like, this is really weird. It looked pretty obvious that he threw that to Alex. Why is he trying to work with Alex? Alex, who doesn't even want to work with him. It was just all sorts of messy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can see that, but I just don't think that. I think Cody would, his alliance was kind of sketched out about the whole Alex thing, but I think Cody would have been able to be convinced to kind of stick to the letter of the law when it comes to his alliance. And I don't think we would have seen as erratic behavior as what you're talking about.
I mean, again, certainly not. I mean, Paul was a sort of element in the game that acted as a catalyst, but that Paul could have been anyone. That's sort of what I'm saying in terms of, like, he didn't affect Cody's mentality. He was just a piece on the board that meant that Cody acted even more erratic than he otherwise would have. He wasn't a direct influence on Cody in that way. And that piece on the board could have been anyone. It could have been Cameron. Maybe Cameron would have been that piece. Maybe there's somebody else who could have been cast that would have been that piece. Cody will always react in the same way because that's who Cody is, as opposed to Jason, who actively went against his instincts because Paul was a direct influence on his mind. So again, like, if we're talking about Paul's influence on the game, that's how I see that happening. And again, certainly Cody wouldn't have acted as erratic, but he still would have been erratic. He still would have been Cody. I can't see him being the power player, the number one threat to win the game coming down to the final three. Is Cody going to win this like a power player? No, I think Cody's gone, long gone by now.
See, I don't think it could necessarily be anybody because Cody and Paul were so diametrically opposed to one another. I mean, I know there was talk about Cody's casting process and how he was brought in as sort of this direct opposition to Paul, knowing that, like, you know, this is going to be a central source of drama for the season. And so I can't help but feel that Paul was like the perfect person to really get under his skin. I mean, it's entirely possible we could have somebody like Josh who steps in and kind of plays that role, but I still don't think it's the same magnitude. And so I don't think you have the same mistakes that Cody ends up making. He'll still make mistakes, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it would necessarily be as bad.
Well, this is Mr. Alpha Beta Cody that we're talking about, who Josh got under his skin, Mark got under his skin, Matt got under his skin, Alex got under his skin, Jason got under his skin. I think it absolutely could have been anyone. I think Cody, even in his pregame interviews, was somebody who is primed to be like, this is the beta that I need to go after, or like, this is the, you know, he's making all these victim noises, screw this guy. I feel like we often forget like who Cody is because we see him as like Paul's opposition instead of like Cody, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like victim noises, you're not an alpha. Like, that's funny because he was so ineffective at what he was trying to do and he was the underdog. But like, Cody in power was really bad. And it's hard to imagine him all of a sudden like magically being like this good player that is going to be like steamrolling the game.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I just don't understand why we're not talking about Kevin as the power player, because he is not a floater and he's all the way to Final Four. Clearly, Kevin, mob boss, would be running this whole thing.
Well, obviously. And that, my friends, is how you handle a very slow day on the live feeds. Thank you very much.
So one thing I think that we want to discuss is the schedule moving forward. So they're going to have the eviction tape the eviction tonight for the episode that's going to air on Wednesday. And so feeds are going to go down and will most likely, I think, probably come back Wednesday night after the West Coast airing, I would assume.
Yes. I believe after that's usually how it goes. The West Coast airing, the feeds will be back up. And then who knows when they go down for the rest of the season. Maybe, honestly, Friday.
So, yeah, because we have the live eviction on Thursday, then that clip show on Friday, and then there's no Sunday episode because of the Emmys. And then the last episode is the 2-hour finale on next Wednesday.
Yeah, so, I mean, we generally get the first HOH on feeds. That will be Thursday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday
night? Yeah.
Then we don't get the second part of the final three HOH on the feeds, but we do get the aftermath on the feeds. So I could see them staying up till like sometime on the weekend, and then they cut the last few days. So we'll keep you informed as it goes on. We do have one final thing. Paul did mention that he's going to ask Alex again if it's all right that he votes against her. So he's giving her another opportunity to open this door up to split the vote and then potentially have Josh sneakily save her. I don't think that's going to happen anymore, unfortunately. It seems as though Josh has fallen back under Paul's spell. The anger he had toward Paul for throwing him under the bus is no longer there. I don't think Whitney, as Whitney mentions in the chat, I don't think he's going to she's going to open that door anyway. It's still a possibility that the feeds could go down later today. And then all of a sudden on Wednesday night, we're like, whoa, Alex stayed. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible in the same way that, you know, Josh is going to cut Paul at Final Four. I don't know. I mean, this is even less of a likelihood, I think, of occurring. I really think that it's not going to be a split vote and we're going to see Alex go home.
Yes. All right. So that is our update for the day. Update plus debate to really pat it out. No, but hopefully you enjoyed it. There's as we go toward the end of the season, obviously there's going to not be a whole lot to be updating as the gameplay tends to slow down here. We may be continuing to update you on things. I might have some ideas as to like some content that we can do when the feeds are down or not, or whatever. Who knows? Let me know if you have any ideas, like things you still want to be updated on day to day.
If you have questions, Rob's going to be in the backyard on finale night.
Yes.
And if you have questions for any of the house guests, email bbfinale@robhasawebsite.com to get your questions in.
Yes, Rob, always looking for questions there. He did a great job with the backyard interviews last year. So looking forward to seeing what he does this year. And yes, of course, make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll be live again to update you on the rest of this day until the feeds go down. Probably not going to be much. So we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, we'll be back to recap the Wednesday night episode. On Thursday night, we have Andy Heron scheduled to join us to talk about the Thursday night episode. And then we'll be at Friday as well for the Friday night episode. So that'll be a recap of a recap. So it might be a good one. Unfortunately, there's a slight delay here on the Taran show. I had Netta scheduled to be released, but there's going to be some kind of delay here. Not sure how long it will be, but I will keep you guys updated as I go along. Very, very sorry about this, but hopefully we can get that out soon. So stay tuned. And of course, make sure you check out the American Ninja Warrior stuff. I will be recording with Lita later today and releasing our second episode for the Vegas finals. So lots of stuff to check out. I'm at Armstrong Taran if you want to find me on Twitter. Liana is at Liana Boris. And yes, thank you everyone for tuning in and checking us out. We will see you next time.